In case you're just tuning in, this is the Monday, April 8th edition of the KHSU Magazine. My guest today is Margot Ginger, who has written a memoir entitled Shift Happens, Breakdowns During Life's Long Hauls. Reviewers have called Margot brutally honest, insightful, and vulnerable in writing about her journey as a young woman through bipolar disorder and beyond. Thanks for coming in, Margot.
Thank you for having me.
How are you today?
I'm doing fine, a little nervous.
That's okay. We'll just say om for a second.
Om.
There we go. So, Margot, you published this book about a year ago, right?
Yes.
Yes. And have you written things in the past?
I've written poetry all my life, really. I read it on Tuesday nights at Northtown Coffee, Word Humble.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Is that open to everybody?
It's everybody. Yes, a lot of students from Humble come read for the first time. It's a great community.
That's terrific.
Community.
That's great. So how long did it take you to write this book?
About 4.5 years, 5 years.
And what prompted you to write your story and bring it out into the public?
Well, originally I had decided, this is in 1978, that I would go out and be a long-haul truck driver, and then I would write a national best-selling book about it and be that kind of author, and then I could come up and hold my head up, and I would no longer be the town's mental patient. And that didn't work out. Least Heat Moon just came out with the Blue Highways, and so I just put my book away until 35 years later, got it out.
So what are the Blue Highways?
It was a wonderful book published back then in 1981. He went all around the country in the back roads. Blue Highways. It's a great book.
And it was about long-haul trucking.
He was in a car and he went to restaurants with 5 calendars on. It was a great book about the cultural aspects of the United States.
Oh, interesting. So you finally, though, did decide to put your story...
I did.
...on paper. And yeah. So what brought you to that decision in that moment and finally into publication?
Oh my gosh. Well, it is a longer story, which actually started when my dog died, of all things. I said, well, if I can't have a dog, I might as well write. And I took prolific notes about truck driving, and I also took prolific notes about the psychotic episode I had. At that time, I thought it was really important what was happening to me, and so I had to keep this paper trail about it. And so I had all those notes, and it's actually quite an amazing story. And I was encouraged to write it by a former professor of HSU, Susan Bennett, just really helped me to bring it out.
Terrific. So the story starts, I think, when you're 26 years old. Mm-hmm. And it starts with you as a teacher and losing your job.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little more about that?
Oh, gosh. That was so long ago. I was not rehired, so technically I wasn't fired. Mm-hmm. But what happened is... the school, I shouldn't say what school locally, I was hired as the tennis coach, and they bought $3,000 worth of screens around the courts, and the choir couldn't have choir robes, and I was pretty upset about that, and so I wrote a letter about that to the local paper. And then when my team, through no fault of my own, won the championship and we went on to the spring banquets, I got booed. I've been professionally booed by a large audience.
Oh, my. Well, I'm glad you can laugh about that.
Yeah, and
so
I
many
wrote
years
a poem
later.
About it, too.
That's great. But following that episode, you apparently had a breakdown referenced quite cleverly in your title, because we all know we've seen those big rigs on the side of the road broken down and blown out tires. And that was, you described that as a year of being in the dark hole, I
believe.
Very
black.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And where were you during that time?
I was in Eureka. I got locked up in Napa State Mental Hospital, and I was in what is now Crestwood Manor. It was called Beverly Manor back then. I was in that for a month, and I was in and out of Sempervirens and crazy. I did everything quite publicly. I thought the entire community knew all about what I did. Now, I found out after writing this book that my brothers didn't even know. But back then, you know, in that age or immaturity, you know, you think everybody knows, and, you know.
And it turns out they didn't, but they know now.
Yeah, they know now. If they read that, they'll know.
Okay. But when you... and apparently during that time, you found yourself medicated, and but you were released, clearly.
I was.
Yes. And then you decided to be a long-haul trucker.
Well, I was told that I had to take Thorazine for the rest of my life. And I have three brothers, and one of them told me, along with my mom, we were sitting in the kitchen, and they both said they'd rather have me be crazy than be a zombie, because Thorazine is hideous.
Yes, it is. Yes.
And so I got off that, and at the time, I had been secretly, I was diagnosed as schizophrenic. And that's the reason for the Thorazine. And so when I went off all the medicine, pretty soon, doop, I went up. And I said, oh, I'll be a long-haul truck driver. Not a lot of planning, but that's how I lived, I guess.
So how was that, being a long-haul truck driver? You know, I have to admit, I fantasized about doing
you
that, too.
Did? Oh,
yes,
thank
did.
You. Because, yeah, I mean, driving that big truck, it was fun. There was no privacy back. The sleepers now are just gorgeous. But back then, it was like snapping. I had all team drivers. I had 11 different partners. And back then, all I could do was snap a vinyl curtain shut and be in a coffin-sized cubicle with no light.
Oh, my.
And that was the privacy while I was driving.
And were any of your partners female? Because back then, it seemed, I mean, even now, most truck drivers are male.
Well, I did have one female partner, and it was the best. She was so fun. She was just wonderful. And I would have kept her forever, but I came home on vacation. But I do want to mention, people say, oh, how could you be in that scary environment? There were a lot of drivers that drove with their wives and girlfriends. So the women weren't listed as part of the industry as employees. But it wasn't like there was no women out there at all.
Do you find it interesting that people automatically assumed that you'd be in danger because you were driving truck? I mean, what does that say about the reputation of truck drivers?
Well, I know. And thank you for asking, because I never felt threatened. I was never assaulted, nothing. And so since I get asked that, number one, I think, well, we're a nation of warriors. You only have to listen to the news about what to worry about next. But I also think that my situation in particular is that I was an outlier. I was not looking for companionship. I was not vulnerable to trying to get a friendship with somebody and then having it turn out to be the wrong person. I was not taking risks. I was an on an adventure to write a book. So I think by the nature of putting out that I'm not available or interested, I got back a different kind of a response. I think they were chivalrous, if I said that correctly, which would be sexist, I suppose. But, you know, it was like, let me take my jacket off and you can walk over the puddle. I mean, it was pretty chivalrous, actually.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And how long did that journey last for you?
Well, I wrote in the book about 12 months of it, and I actually went 14 months.
And what came next?
Oh, well, I met my husband.
Oops, and that's the love story part of it all, right?
It is.
And you've been married for how long?
35 years.
And have children. Okay. And I understand, I read a bio about you, and you said your daughter calls you.
Oh, she wrote a paper in high school, if this is what you're talking about. And she said, and this was when she was in high school and before I started taking medicine, she said, "I walk on eggshells," was the title of the paper. Is that what you're...
No, I think it was a comment about she considers, I think it was you, a deluge, your husband a mist.
Oh yeah. She said that I am the Marianas Trench, and she is just a puddle. So I'm always trying to talk deep and meaningful to let enlighten my kids about what to, you know, be aware of and steer clear of. And so later on, you know, she doesn't want to talk about it. She's just a puddle and I'm the Marianas Trench, but my husband is mist. He doesn't even come down.
Oh, that's hysterical. How does your husband feel about being missed?
We'll have to ask him. He just manages to evade a lot of answers. Don't quote me on that. Anybody's listening. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's out in public now.
Yeah, it is.
Wow. And so you were diagnosed with schizophrenia. You did not take meds. Was that an accurate diagnosis for you?
No. They knew about 5 years previous to when I had my psychotic episode, they differentiated schizophrenia from bipolar disorder. But my psychiatrist was not up on the latest information. And so he diagnosed me incorrectly.
And how about now? How are you feeling now? And
when as I mentioned, my daughter said she wrote that on that she walked on eggshells. And my son in counseling once time said that I was the most vigorous person he'd ever met, which was pretty kind way to put it. And I think basically I had sucked it up, but released emotion in extreme, happy and angry, with my family, those closest to me. And when my mother died in 1995, I kind of fell apart, and one thing led to another, and I got to see a psychiatrist who started me on medicine, and I absolutely couldn't. I remember exactly where I was standing, and I thought to myself, is it really this easy for other people every day?
Wow.
Could not get over it. I could not.
That's quite revelatory.
Yeah.
So where can people find more information about your book? Do you have a website?
I do have a website.
And it is?
Oh, MJ Ginger.
G-E-N-G-E-R.
That's correct. Yes. mjginger@gmail.com.
And are your books available at Northtown Books?
Yes.
That's terrific. Thank you so much for joining us today, Margo.
Thank you so much.